You're listening to That Park Life podcast.
From attraction deep dives
to resort rundowns
to cast member chats,
they're here to help you live that park life.
Here they are now,
Beth and Greg.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to That Park Life podcast. We're happy to be with you. We managed to find our way through the eclipse, through the earthquake, through everything else going on.
Did you see Sunny today?
I saw lots of memes of Sunny eclipse, including one on our account
I
as well.
Like this was his day, you know?
It was his day. What's including Sunday? The one posted by the Disney account, a couple of Disney accounts, man.
I like the one what they're where doing. He's like, did you get that eclipse video? And she's like, I got the Sunny eclipse. And he's like, the solar eclipse? And she's like, no, the Sunny eclipse. I was like, what is happening? Repost. I don't even care. Repost it. It's great. This is great.
aside from the eclipse, today's a big day because we get to talk to author of Walt Disney World Hacks, second edition, and some other stuff that we've read and cited as part of our deep dive episode. So I'm really excited to do that. And I've also got something on my mind here, on the old
Let's
noggin.
Let's talk about it.
If
Let's
I may, because I saw it. A TikTok, even though I don't have TikTok, it came up
I
as
saw
a reel.
Said TikTok.
That's how I consume, anyone else, that's how I consume my TikToks when they get reposted as reels.
Yeah.
So I saw one, and it was about some of the artwork that has been released by Disney regarding Tiana's Bayou Adventure. So a couple of weeks ago now, they did phase one of showing you some artwork of some of the characters that are going to be original and unique to the attraction. Yeah. Because remember, the storyline for the attraction is supposed to take place after the movie.
Yeah. And then we got to play the game. Was this just a character that was already there that they're like, yeah, it's part of this storyline now? Or was it a new one?
I think it's new.
Yeah. I think it's new too. But I just remember looking at those and going, yeah, they probably reused this for that. And then they probably reused this for that. But.
And so this was this is the batch from 2 weeks ago where one of the characters' name is Gritty. He, I think, is a bunny of some kind. And he's holding a license plate. And it's not the first or second or third one. And it's kind of towards the end. Because, they posted the carousel of photos of different artwork, different characters. And this particular character of Tiana's Bayou Adventure is holding a license plate. Now, if you're, I think Taylor Swift has kind of trained us to think and look for Easter eggs, but this is not the first
time. You mean Disney has trained us to look for
I was going
to
say, yeah, this is certainly not new. I think just Miss Swift has brought it out.
Taylor Swift.
Yes. This is a great intersection, I think, of things because we've been looking for, hidden stuff all over the place. But, and they also, if you have forgotten, they did this for Tron when they released certain posts leading up to the announcement. Buried in there was how it was going to open in April of last year. So back to this license plate that Gritty is holding. And the first thing you can see are initials LA and the number 23. So I thought, okay, well, New Orleans is in Louisiana. The LA is probably the state abbreviation of Louisiana, but I was like, I don't know what the 23 stands for or what it represents. All of the other dates that are listed on the Tiana stuff is 1927. That's the storyline year that they always talk about. So it's not that. So I just am Googling along to see what LA 23 might be. There's an organization that exists for the betterment of the state of Louisiana. I don't think that's what they're calling out here.
Yeah.
That sounds a little too political. Otherwise, there's a highway, a state road that is called LA 23. That's a north-south style highway that connects two main cities. It's about 74 miles long, but the main cities that are listed there, I couldn't find a correlation between that and a city that exists as a setting in Princess and the Frog. So this is all to say, I don't know what the LA 23 means. It is just possible. It's just something that is supposed to refer to in Louisiana, because I actually Googled what Louisiana license plates look like and if they have the state initials on it in a year, because in Florida, your plates expire and they have a year and it says your thing. Yeah. So find any information. But the real drama here, the real tea, apparently, depending on who you ask, is in the rest of the numbers. And that's what this TikTok video was about. After the LA 23, it mentions the five numbers 52872, which is five digits, but is not a zip code. I just Googled it. Can't find a zip code that has that. I thought maybe imagine that's something in the New Orleans area. It is not.
Yeah.
That's not it. But what the TikTok was alleging, or at least this person's thought starter, if you will, was that this 5-digit number is referencing the opening dates, so plural dates for mm-hmm. this attraction. And the thought was that perhaps the previews could start on May 28th, but the true opening of the attraction would be July 2nd, which is what the 7-2 is about. Mm. So 5-2-8 would refer to the first batch opening, phase one opening, previews. We're all going to guess that it's annual pass holder, Disney Vacation Club member, media people, cast members, that kind of stuff. And then the true opening of July 2nd, which would put it at the official summer opening that they've been talking about. So it's a really interesting thing. That's the theory I've heard, is that the 5-2-8-7-2 refers to the two different opening dates. So I guess we shall see.
I know, because I feel like it definitely means something, but we got to figure out what that
is. Right. So. And then I thought, I really have been spending some time on this, everyone.
Yeah.
I looked up like who the lead Imagineers are for this. Is that their birthday? Like, I even Googled what happened in history on 5-28-1972. Like, did something happen in Louisiana that they're trying to refer to? I Googled it and cross-referenced like plot points in Princess and the Frog, like did, and then
that's
even went
what that
as far,
grid behind you on the wall is
and then I even was trying to, like, I Googled like Princess and the Frog car to see if like any scenes that included a car just happened to have that license plate on. It's just like a quick callback to like something that someone put as a I could not find anything.
Nothing,
so maybe
yet.
It is just a series of, not just, maybe it is a series of dates referring to the opening.
Time will tell. We haven't hit those dates yet, so you know, I mean, obviously it's, you know, 5-28, that's Doug's birthday, but it's usually Memorial Day weekend. So we were like, maybe that's when they're, you know, trying to put that together, but we shall see. So stay tuned, everyone.
So you all know that Beth and I have been around the block. We've seen some things. So you can imagine how delighted I was to discover new information. And I also want to point out that this is not the first time I've discovered new information from this lovely author, okay? Because we've talked about this. We've done some deep dive episodes and some attractions and stuff. Little did I know back then when I was quoting The Hidden Magic of Walt Disney World by author Susan Vaness that we would one day have the opportunity to talk to her and her new book. So welcome, Susan.
Welcome.
Hi. Yay. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course.
Susan, how are you? Did you see the eclipse today? Did you get some eclipse time in?
Well, we really hope to, but my husband and I are traveling for a year in an RV. So we are currently
amazing.
In the Mississippi area. And yesterday we were told we'd have 89% coverage and 3% chance of clouds. And today it absolutely heaved down with rain. So we saw nothing.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I think you
I'm
saw...
I'm like, you didn't hightail your RV down to just like follow the path, like drive all the way up the coast today?
Yeah, you don't really hightail an RV anywhere.
Yeah, no.
It's slow going. So you probably saw a lot more than I did.
We were 85% coverage and it was just like, it looked like it was cloudy out, whatever. Nothing too crazy, but I know like if you're in the full path, it looks really cool. We were talking about that in our other like episode that we do. So I don't know, pretty cool, but
very.
It is what it is. So thank you for being here with us.
Yeah, I'm super excited. If anyone doesn't know, you obviously had written the Walt Disney World Hacks first edition, but now we get the second edition that's been updated for some new stuff that's come along in the past couple of years. So I can't wait to talk to you about some of the things in the book and also get to know you a little bit. And I feel like the first question that Beth and I usually wind up asking is, how did you get started on this journey? I know you're local to Walt Disney World. In your bio in the book, it says you've been coming to Walt Disney World since 1971. But how did it start back then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my family was coming down to Miami to visit friends. And we heard about this place called Walt Disney World. And, you know, of course, I had grown up watching The Wonderful World of Disney. So we kind of, you know, thought, oh, this might be a cool thing. We lived in Michigan. On the way back up to Michigan, we just stopped in for the day. And, of course, then it was only Magic Kingdom. And there was, you know, nothing but orange groves and this long, long road into the park. So that was my first introduction to Walt Disney World. I didn't go again until after Epcot was already open. And that's when I really just fell in love with the layers that are involved in the lands and the attractions. So my husband kind of talked me into writing a book about those layers and those details, and that became The Hidden Magic of Walt Disney World. So out of that book did, you know, pretty well. And out of that came another book, and out of that came Walt Disney World Hacks.
That's so cool. I think that's a really good way to put it, the layers that exist around Walt Disney World, because I think that probably has something to do with another thing I would love to hear from you about is, if you've been visiting Disney World since it opened in 1971, I'm sorry to do this to you, but that means you've been visiting Disney World for 50 years. That's a long time.
There's been some kind of time.
There's a clerical error in there.
The fact that like that's a core memory that you have, I'm like, I'm so jealous that like Walt Disney World in its its first year, you know, was like a core memory for you. That's so cool. Do you remember, like, how old were you when you went?
Oh, I must have been like 2. No, I wasn't
okay,
2.
Okay. I was 2. Like, I mean, I was, you remember anything
like
about it?
11, or I can't remember exactly how old I was, but I remember the parking area and having to walk to the park, and somebody had said, oh, the monorail isn't working today. So we're like, what's a monorail? And they said, well, it's a train, but it's up on this track. And we just kept thinking, you can't put a train on a track. Trains don't run on, you know, just a single track. Yeah. So we just,
they're like, oh, honey.
That was the first, you know, wow, really wow moment.
And just driving through Orlando when there's nothing but orange groves, like I'm like, so that's crazy. Especially
there was
now,
nothing there, but the smell of the, you know, the orange groves, and but then being in the park itself, you know, it was much smaller, obviously, than it is now, and it wasn't crowded the way it is now. So it was a really, really different experience.
Yeah. Crowded? I've never heard anyone use that word to describe anything here.
I also love seeing videos of like what people were wearing at different times, because it was like, it almost looked like Easter Sunday. Like it almost looked like people going to the parks at that time. It was like everyone's wearing dresses and like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It looks like everyone's like on their way to church or have just left church. And I'm like, that's just crazy because it's so hot. And I'm like, now thinking about what people wear to the parks, I'm like,
oh yeah, there are times my husband and I walk around and just kind of look and say, I'm not sure that's appropriate for them.
Oh, yeah. No, that's like, most of the time our line is like, not my child. Like,
are you we'll saying, like, I shouldn't be wearing my booty shorts, Beth? Is that, that's what I'm hearing.
Just saying, maybe you should, you know, cut it back a little
bit.
They
do say juicy on the back.
Sometimes it's more than you need to see.
I'm like, literally, I'm like, why even wear under? I mean,
yeah, why bother?
Why bother? Your shirt basically just looks like you're naked. So anyways.
Having gone to Disney World for that long, what gets you excited to visit now?
Well, probably two things. One of them is kind of sentimental, I guess, but I absolutely love to go in and just be around that energy, especially, you know, when you see people in the parks who, this is all brand new, and they just have that look on their face. They're sort of deer in the headlights, stunned, but also just soaking it all in. So I love that. But really what gets me excited about it is the level of detail. That's just such a passion for me. I love it when a new attraction opens and you get to see, you know, what the Imagineers sort of hid in the attraction or put right in front of your face, but you don't necessarily, you know what
it
is,
what it means. Detail. Yeah.
I love that.
It's my favorite thing to go with people who've never been before, because I'm like, oh, you're in for a treat. And I'm so jealous. Like, this is the first time you're getting to, you know, my friend took her daughter and she's like 6 a few weeks ago. And I was like, I'm just so jealous that she's like getting to see all this stuff for the first time in her life. Like, it's so exciting. So,
yeah,
I get that for sure.
Our niece taking her for the first time with her parents. And gosh, that little face and meeting Belle for the first time. Oh, we were all just in tears. It was
like melted.
It was so beautiful. People get to experience that every day, and I just love being in that energy of, you know, people having these amazing encounters and making these incredible memories. And it sounds stupid and cliche, but I mean, it really is a thing. You really do feel that.
Some people just don't get it, but it's like, if you get it, you really get it.
Yep. So I agree.
You're talking to the right people with that, right?
I know, because some people are like, y'all are just crazy Disney adults. And then I'm like, yep. Right, until you've gone. And
yeah,
then
whatever.
When I go, they're like, now I'm a crazy Disney adult. And I'm like, exactly.
That's so, the thing. Right. I mean, I think we can all relate, right? We obviously talk about Disney quite often. And that's something that keeps all of us going, is waiting to see, having the opportunity to see something new, to find out the new details. So I'm not surprised to hear that something that you really value in your time here are the details, because, you know, I've read some of your books. So, of course, I know how much of a fan you are, because it helped me increase my level of fanhood. So this new book, this Walt Disney World Hacks second edition, which I'm holding in my hand right now as we speak, over, as you know, because you wrote it, over 350 park secrets for making the most of your Walt Disney World vacation. So for everyone who hasn't yet read it, what type of hacks should people expect to find in this book?
Well, it covers everything from your planning through the travel to get there, being there, planning your resorts, planning your dining, getting there, how to do the attractions, and all the way through going home. So, yeah. And there are hacks that are specifically for, we call them newbie hacks, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. hacks that are specifically for pros, people who've been, you know, a few times. But really, all of the hacks are hacks that anybody can use. It's just that when you're brand new to it, they're just things that you don't think of. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a whole chapter then about the Disney blues and being sad about when you leave Disney? Is that, because
that's
hack?
Real.
How to get through it.
The very last hack in the book is, you know, that smell at the resorts, and the very last hack in the book is where to find the candle and the Mr. Oils.
Yeah.
To bring that scent home so that you can have that when you get back, you don't feel so much sadness, and you can start planning your next trip.
And also call your local counselor and or therapist.
Do what you can.
To get through it
any way you can.
Or call another really big Disney fan, because they totally understand.
Or, I don't know, maybe listen to a Disney podcast.
Or listen to Disney.
Isn't that the thing, though? You know, you want to read the books. You want to listen to the podcasts. And when you're a really big fan, it just feels like you can't. There's no such thing as too much. You just can't get enough.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The limit does not exist. That's to quote Mean Girls. So, Susan, I would love to just ask some questions about some of the tips in here. Because I did. I went through and I had the pleasure and honor of getting a copy of it. And I would love to talk about some of these tips. Because, if nothing else, there are some things we have never thought of in here. Especially because the whole chapter with Disney with kids, because Beth and I don't have kids. So that's like a whole area that we just don't really get to talk about too much. But I read one thing in here that I thought was fascinating, and it is the idea, this is tip number 409 if anyone wants to keep track, about spine compression, and about how it is possible that your kid, if they're just at the height requirement, that earlier in the day they might make the height, and then later on in the day, I would have never in a million years thought of that. Like, how do you find out information like that?
Some of that came from, you know, that sort of thing came from visiting with kids, but also, you know, I talked to the cast members. You know, I spend a lot of time just in the parks, walking around, listening, trying to figure out what, you know, what's working for people, what's not working for people. So that one, I think that one might have come from talking to a cast member.
I believe
not that they told me to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just, you know, asking those questions about height and, you know, how all that.
They're like, oh, pro tip. Okay, lady, listen up. They're like, write this down. Get your pad out.
No, I don't.
That's something I never even thought about. But
I never would have thought. So for those of you that listen to us routinely, first of all, thank you. And second, I know we don't normally get to talk a lot about your life in Disney with kids. So definitely go pick up this book and head over it. Read the other chapters too. But for sure, take a look at the chapter with a bunch of hacks for kids. But this next one really got me right in the heart, Susan. It's like, I think you wrote this and you were writing it for me. That's how I interpreted it. The headline is Take a Fort Wilderness Rest Day. I could go on and on about my love. Everyone who listens to this all the time knows. But since 2018, our first day there, we've stayed 14 times in the past couple of years there. By the way, it's our dog's favorite resort more than anything else.
As well it should be.
Yeah, she stayed there a lot. But this hack in here are some specific things you can do in Fort Wilderness. But what do you love about Fort Wilderness? Because I find it sometimes it's a hard sell for people. But what do you tell people? Yeah. They're like, what do you mean I should go to Fort Wilderness?
Yeah, I love Fort Wilderness. I just think there's a lot to do there. You know, the campfire programs and the movies and the bikes and renting a golf. One of the most fun times we had with our boys was renting a golf cart. And there's just something different about being in a golf cart. So, you know, there's just a lot to do. I also like that you're kind of... You're still in the magic. Everything's still really convenient, but you just feel really far away. I love Fort Wilderness.
I've been to Vero Beach. I was about to say I haven't been there, but I forgot that I did go there right after it reopened for COVID. But it's kind of like that where you're at a Disney place, but you're not in a theme park mode. You're more just absorbing like almost like the culture of the resort itself, as opposed to the larger culture of Disney.
Mm-hmm. And definitely, you know, if you can go over the holidays, Halloween and Christmas, oh my gosh, the way people decorate their RV sites.
Yeah.
You don't need to go into a park.
I'm always like, how do these people afford to do this? Because they rent for like a month and then they set up all this stuff and you're just like, not to mention they got to get it there. They got to get all that stuff there.
This is the thing. If you've ever been in an RV, you know how limited your space is. Right. But it's a commitment. These are serious diehard people. Yeah.
They're like, well, we can't get into our RV until we unload it, but it's worth it. Especially all the clothes,
but we've got to blow up Mickey.
The thing is like, we've talked about it before, but there's a family and they come every October and they bring their fleet of stormtroopers in various sizes and they dress them up in different attire. I think they shop at Kohl's. It just looks like a bunch of kids' clothes from Kohl's.
Yeah.
There's also the family that brought and they set up an entire Blockbuster, like the Blockbuster video store, like recreation, including a giant sign that you would have seen from the road. We happened to be in our golf cart driving around and we saw the flatbed come in and back up into the loop, into the campsite loop. And then they were wheeling out this big light up Blockbuster sign. We're like, where do you even get that?
And people like expect it now too. It's like, oh, well, you got to come back because everyone's like expecting you to be here. You know, it's like the Stormtrooper family. Yeah. Everyone's expecting them to be there. So,
Now I'm definitely going to look for that. When do they go?
That's the thing. So if you belong to any of the Fort Wilderness like groups on Facebook, there's a couple of them, but usually that family, the moment the Stormtroopers post when they're staying so that, because they typically also give away things to kids and stuff. They seem to be really, really nice.
Oh, and, fabulous.
And yeah, there's private groups where they like Greg, I mean, I don't know if y'all talked about this, but you know, where there's like private Facebook groups and people do scavenger hunts.
Yeah, the unofficial Fort Wilderness scavenger hunt that's not Disney led or sanctioned, actually. Sometimes they don't like it. But guests
like quit
that
leaving
stay
stuff around our resort.
Yeah.
But other people are like,
that's
yes!
what it is. Just stuff all over the place.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a fun time.
Lots of stuff
over there. Another thing that was news to me as I was reading through your tips was the one that's headlined "Beat the Deleted Photo." So I've been a victim of a filtered out photo, Susan, and I wish you were there when this happened because my brother-in-law thought it would be funny while we were on, I think, Spaceship Earth, to just lift his shirt and just let it all hang out, which isn't even that these days. It's like not even that offensive, but anyway, I get it.
Yeah.
So we lost our photo, but in reading this, I never thought of potentially just bringing it up and letting them know that my photo is not there. And then sometimes, if capacity allows and it's not super busy and maybe the cast member is having a good day, that they might let you ride again. I just never even thought to ask that.
Yeah, and they know when those photos have been deleted. So, you know, it's definitely worth asking. I think Splash Mountain, which is not going to be Splash Mountain anymore.
That's a popular one for people to get a little rowdy.
It's a really popular one for people to do things that maybe aren't going to make it past the sensors. Yeah.
Tip number 295, rides you must do twice. I thought this was so interesting because, I mean, if you ask, you know, a regular guest, I'm sure everyone has their favorite and stuff. But one of the things I like about my favorite rides is the re-rideability. Somehow my ride did not make your list and I'm not taking it personally. But the four attractions that you've listed, the one that I would have chosen was Toy Story Mania, but I'm also maybe like a little bit of a nerd in that sense. But
yeah, you're a connoisseur of that, so
I just have a fun time. I don't always get like a super high score, but I'm gonna evaluate myself right now. I'm realizing that I think the reason I like it is that I'm normally the highest score in vehicle, and I think maybe my ego is taking over my way here. Okay. So however, the better ones that you provide, the better examples that you provide, in this Walt Disney World Hacks book, the four attractions you listed to do twice, the Kilimanjaro Safaris, which is a great one, right? Because it's like you don't get the same safari twice.
Ever. Yep.
Have you done it when they, I can't remember when this was. Like there was this time when they were trying to make, like really trying to ramp up the idea that Animal Kingdom is a full day park. So they added stuff to the evening. They had the Rivers of Light show that happened over there in Asia, but they also started to do nighttime safaris where they would simulate
spotlights.
They would simulate the sunset. The savannah, if you will. And they don't do that now, but I've always wondered if they'd ever bring that back. But what's your thing about the safari?
Yeah, I actually like the nighttime safari. I thought it was different and interesting, but I guess, you know, it's kind of hard to see things in the dark, so there was that. But it was just a really interesting, you know, an interesting difference to the day. But for me, the safari, as you say, it's never the same experience twice.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, it's definitely one that I do every time because you just don't know what you're going to see and what you're going to experience. I think. Former Splash Mountain is another really great one to do in the dark because it does feel very different.
The
nighttime and the daytime experience on some of these rides really does make it feel like you're on something very different.
I think they're trying to do more of that as they open new attractions because it's just like, you know, like with Tron and Guardians of the Galaxy, it's like, yeah, one of them's like indoor outdoor, so it definitely had like Tron's definitely a different experience in the daytime and nighttime just because of the like
the canopy,
the lights
and the
stuff.
Lighting and stuff. Yeah,
like Guardians of the Galaxy, it's like, well, you might get a different song this time, and you know, same with like Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway. It's like, well, your car may go this way this time, and your car may be over here this time, or something like that. I feel like they're doing more of that.
You have to do Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway at least twice because there's just so much to see.
You can even do it twice and be like, nah, because someone's like, oh, did you see this? And you're like, no, there's so much stuff to look at. Like, are you kidding me? You should have said it in the moment kind of thing.
We did when we did the media event for it, when it was just getting ready to open, I was just wrapping up the last edition of The Hidden Magic. And the publisher was kind of like delaying so that we could get that one in.
Yeah.
And I think we rode that, oh my gosh, I don't know, 17, 18, 19 times in a row, just trying to really pull things out of it because it's just,
there's so much.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a terrific ride. I think they did a great job with that. I'm a great movie ride kind of person. I love that attraction. I was sad to see it go. But okay, you know, I'll live with what we have.
We wish they would have done more with the ride queue, but we're happy with the ride itself. Like, we talked about that recently because we were like, well, the queue's kind of... We do episodes where we rate ride queues, and that was one where we were like, womp womp. But
especially compared to the ride. Especially compared to the Disneyland version. Their queue is just so cool.
Yeah.
The inside ride is basically the same. There's a few areas that are a little bit mirrored, but it's the same thing. But their queue is just, it's just so much more in-depth, so much more going on.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I haven't been on that one yet.
I'm very pro Disneyland, so my suggestion would be you got to get out there and do it.
Yeah.
Take that RV all the way to California.
I know. Did y'all take the RV to Disneyland?
We didn't go to Disneyland. We purposely did not do any...
parks.
Any parks. Because part of this trip is just, we just need to hit the reset button and have...
Did you do national parks, though? Like, did you go to, like, Yosemite?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
So you did as all the many as we parks. Could, yeah.
Okay, good, good. You got to see the redwood trees. Oh, my gosh. Good stuff.
And then when you get back to the Orlando area, you're going to go right to Wilderness Lodge so you can see
what
got inspired by all those
into
parks.
How about Fort Wilderness?
Yeah, do both. Why not both?
Yeah.
I won't spoil, by the way, everyone, the other three attractions that are in the section of rides you must do twice. You'll have to read it to figure out what the other rides are. And I have a tip for you, Susan. Get ready.
I will take it. Go for okay. it.
This was something that I kind of discovered one day because I usually take my nice camera with me, especially before we moved here on like longer trips and stuff. And there's a tip in here about saying goodbye to foggy camera lens. And one way to do it is what you wrote in here, which is to leave your camera outside a little bit before you go to get it like kind of acclimated to the weather. Because it's really that it's the difference. It's the contrast coming from a super air conditioned room, especially in the summer, to stepping outside. Just immediately you get condensation and stuff. So one day that happened to me. I was like, okay, how do I solve this problem? So I thought, well, let me get the camera hot before I go out. And I didn't even think to leave it outside. I just got the hairdryer in the room and just put it there for like maybe 30, 45 seconds. And you don't want to burn it, everyone here, right?
Yeah.
But you just want to heat it up. And then after that, it's worked every single time. And I thought, this is the best. I'm obviously not using the hairdryer on my head. So I figure I might as well use it for the camera.
Wow, that's a great tip. You know, I might have to include that next time and credit you for it.
Trademark Greg. TMTM.
I'm just happy to share it because it saved me. It's got me out of pickle.
That's
because
a cool hack, for sure.
There'd be so many times where I got really excited to get to the park early, like right at park open, and get like those nice like early morning shots where it's like not over, you know. And then I go to take out my camera and you can't even see the lens because it's all fogged up. So
looks like you breathed on it.
Well, there's a bunch of hairdryer hacks in the book, so... Why not have, you know, another one? That's a great idea. Good for you.
Hair dryers work overtime for sure in those resorts.
We've had like lots of different conversations here about Disney, obviously, as we just continue to navigate it. And I think one that's really taking off, shout out to Stephen at Dintroverts on Instagram, is this idea of guests who visit the parks who just really like that introversion style and or just like to find spots where they can relax and recharge. And I'm curious, for someone like you who has been visiting the parks for your lifetime, essentially, where do you go in Disney to kind of get away for a moment, to relax, to recharge, that might be kind of like away from the beaten path?
There are so many places. It's surprising in such a crowded atmosphere that you can actually find places to get away. For me, if I really just need to... I guess it's getting away, but it's also, you know... You've still got something to do. I love the Nomad Lounge because I love that area overlooking the water there. And you still have people passing by. So, you know, you're still kind of in the magic, but it's quieter. And a lot of times you won't have children there. So that's a good one. The other one that surprised me that I ended up liking is the Skyliner. If you can get a car to yourself... That brings that the whole chaos right down. It's peaceful, it's quiet, you have a great view. But that's if you can get a car to yourself.
Yeah. It's like, even if you're at Hollywood Studios and it's like, you know what, just go do a loop and then come back. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, just go do a loop.
We do that a lot. The other one that's just go do a loop is from Disney Springs. If you take there's a little boat that goes out to Port Orleans. And it goes into some of the back areas that a lot of guests don't see. It's peaceful, especially at night, if you want a little bit, you know, little bit of romance, but there's still people around you.
Are you saying that you make out with your husband on this boat?
Don't do that because...
There's PDA all over the place.
You know there's cameras everywhere.
She's like, I can't go on the boats anymore. They kicked us off.
We're talking about the Sassagoula River.
Yeah, I was like, the Sassagoula? Sassagoula. We know about the Sassagoula.
We have one pet, Susan. She's a dog. And we always joke that if we ever get a second one, her name is Reba. If we ever get a second dog later, I would like to name her, it's going to be her, Sassagoula, or Sassy for short, because she's going to take after her dad. But a big fan of the boat that's out there. And you're right. There is definitely some stuff that the regular everyday guest isn't seeing. You're taking that boat past... Saratoga Springs Resort, where you get to see the treehouse villas. There's like 60 of them tucked away in those trees. I think most people don't even know that they're there, let alone there's 60 of them.
It's hard to believe,
And then you get to go like under the road a little bit, under Disney Vacation Club Way, and then you come out to where there's French Quarter and Riverside, and you can of course go over there and get your beignets over at French Quarter or just walk around. I think those are two beautiful resorts, so that's a great idea. Yep. Speaking of your husband, who you may or may not be making out with on these boats, on these technically those are also called the friendship boats, the same boats that they call in Epcot.
That's more friendship than you want.
That's a little more. Yeah, that's friendship like, with like, something
oh, we're,
else.
We're really good friends. Yes. We're really good friends. Don't worry about it, everyone.
As you know, your husband is British. So I was curious, do you take him to the UK Pavilion in Epcot if he ever is feeling homesick? And does it work?
Does he scoff at it?
Yeah.
Well, no, he doesn't scoff at it. Definitely not. Okay. The World Showcase pavilions are sort of a snapshot of a place, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't really feel like home to him. It's very clean. It's, you know, but we do actually really enjoy going to the UK Pavilion because you get a chance to talk to the cast members there. And that's kind of a...
That probably feels more like home.
Yeah, you know? That definitely
He like actually knows where they're from. You know, he's like, yeah, I actually know that place.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's cool. So that's... And the Russell Crown is... I don't think there's a pub anywhere in England that's that size.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't... It doesn't have that familiarity for him.
Yeah.
But definitely talking to the cast members, you know, we both really enjoy that. Yeah.
And they probably love it too because they're like, oh, a familiar, like, you know, they probably hear him and they're like, oh, like a piece of
home.
He's
one of us.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it goes both ways for sure.
Well, and he's the author of The Brit Guide to Orlando. So a lot of them know the guidebook. It's been around forever and a day. So, cool. You know, it's kind of fun for both of us to be able to, you know, for the cast member and for us to be able to chat about.
Yeah.
Dear old home.
What? Where is he from? We do have some UK listeners, so I'm curious where he is from because they would know probably.
Well, he's from several places. Gravesend was one, but the last place he lived there was Brighton.
Okay.
Hove, actually.
I have heard of Brighton.
Yeah. And your UK listeners will get that reference to Hove actually.
Okay. We'll have to ask Nathan about that. He's our UK UK guy over there. He'll tell us what it means.
And you may remember Disney announced, I think this was the D23 Expo from 2019. That's not the right year. I think it only happens on even years, but maybe it was 2018. But potentially bringing in the Cherry Tree Lane scene of Mary Poppins to the UK Pavilion, which I guess has been paused or canceled at this point because it's been years. I'm curious to hear what someone... In a partially British household has to feel about that because obviously Mary Poppins an iconic part of the literature over there. But like, how do you feel about it?
Well, we got to see the concept art. And I mean, it was more than the concept art. We were at a press event back when they were getting ready to announce that. So we got to see what was in the works to a degree. I really wanted it to happen. We both
I think
really
everybody
wanted it
did.
To happen. We spent so much time trying to figure out, okay, where exactly are these elements going to go?
Yeah.
Because it was a big deal. I mean, it was
going like,
to be
what
a big
are they
expansion.
Taking out to put this here? Because it did make it look like it was this big open concept. And you're like, where? Like, where are they putting that? But I get what you're
so
saying.
So we were really disappointed when it just sort of quietly went away. Hopefully, you know, the Imagineers don't throw anything away. Hopefully it will come back. Hopefully we will get to see that. But I think the real disappointment, more than it being, you know, such an iconic piece of literature, is just where are they going to put this stuff? We really wanted to know.
Yeah. We're really hopeful for the next D23 event.
Yeah, we were
coming
just talking
up in
about,
August. Yeah.
Yeah. They have lots, I think, to announce, especially I think they just have pressure because of Universal's new park, like their new gate opening, and I'm like, all right, what are we doing, Disney? Like, how are you guys going to be responding to this? So
all right, I have to ask you, as someone who has published several books about Disney World, especially the hidden magic stuff, and I know that you've named some hidden Mickeys that are around the parks, but I'm curious, as someone who's seen so many things, what are your favorite hidden Mickeys?
Oh, gosh.
Like, if there's a new person and they don't really know anything about hidden Mickeys, what are the ones that you're like, oh, I can't wait to show them this one?
Well, I think the easiest one is probably the most obvious one, which is, well, I guess it's not the most obvious, but it's the one that pretty much everybody knows about, which is in the Haunted Mansion. you know, it's totally unofficial. It is not mm-hmm. supposed to be there. But in the ballroom on the table there, mm-hmm. three plates have been arranged into a hidden Mickey. Mm-hmm. And if quality control is coming through, it's not there. Mm-hmm. But once they right. leave, it somehow, you know, the ghosts rearrange the plates.
Yeah.
So that's one that I think people need to look for. But the ones that I really love, I have two that I really love. The hidden Oswald between Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Belle's mm-hmm. Enchanted Tales with Belle. On the pavement, there's yeah. a hidden Oswald kind of carved into the pavement there.
Okay.
And it's,
I don't think
it's,
I knew that.
Yeah, it's yeah. really cool. And then there's another that. One that's Mickey as Steamboat Willie. Mm. So when you're coming out of, Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Oh, that's my go-to.
I was
going
to say that was my go-to. Is like because you have to. You can't see it unless you're like walking in like
lined
that specific
up,
area.
Like
and it's not like it's right there under this blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, you have to see the different layers.
Yeah.
In order to see the whole thing. So.
It's sort of several different rocks just arranged in the right way that when you're coming out the exit there
yeah.
from Little Mermaid, you'll That's see, cool you know, sort of Mickey's left leg and his foot and part of his shorts. And then you look a little bit to the right and there's the other side and you look at the next one behind it and it just all together, but you've got to really work for it. It's not an easy mm-hmm. one. All together, it creates, you know, Mickey as
Steamboat.
And
you're like, what Imagineer stood here and was like, you know what? You know what we're going to do? I mean, and like, how? How did y'all even figure that out? Like, that's just crazy to me. Some of the stuff that they come up with, you're like, what? Whose idea was that?
Have you seen the one at the skull in Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah. See, I was thinking the same kind of thing. Yeah.
Same idea. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to see the layers. And because then when you get up on it, you're like, oh, I can't see it anymore
just
now.
Some rocks.
But,
as you're passing it, all you see is like, what is it? Four different, you know, distinctly separate rocks. But as you're coming up to it, that's a cool skull.
And
I love
feel like
that
we
thing.
Missed it a lot for a lot of years because they used to have that the wall of
the mist
or whatever.
The mist,
so, everyone was kind of like more paying attention to that. You didn't really pay attention to the skull. But then when they kind of took that out, it was like, oh, what is this?
Yeah,
here?
It's distracting. Do you know how many times I walked into Pirates of the Caribbean and never noticed the rock off to the left before you even get into the attraction is also a skull? I walked by that thing for years and never noticed that.
You're like, wait, who did this? Who added this last year?
And I said to my husband, is that new?
Yeah. I feel that way sometimes, too. It's like when you go a lot, you go sometimes and you're like, is that new? And someone's like, that's been there forever. And you're like, what?
Because you just that's like, really true. You've got such familiarity with the parks. There are times when I can't even remember attraction names because you just
you're like, what's it
you're
called?
So used to it.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, what did that used to be? And then it was this and now it's this and... Yeah.
Oh, well, the Wedway. I can't remember what the new name is.
It's a much longer name, the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover, as opposed to
Star
Wars. I was
going to
say, that's my go-to when you need a moment of, like, rest. We like to hop on the People Mover, and we like to do the finger twirl and try to go twice.
That's
like my
hack.
I'm like, my friend that just went, I was like, listen, you just do this little loop. And you just kind of like give a thumbs up and they'll tell you yes or no. And I was like, I've never been told no. So I'm like, even if there's a line, they'll let you go again. It's fine.
Yep. And if you do that and point at your infant or your toddler that's sleeping in your lap, you get to go. That's
a
great ride for when you have a small child who just can't seem to fall asleep. Get on the Tomorrowland Transit. Yep. It's terrific.
Or someone in their late 30s who just is kind of cranky and wants a rest.
You know, you need a little happy nappy.
It's a great place for the grandparents who just can't stand being around the grandkids anymore.
You're like, you sit in that car. We'll sit over here.
You know, we've gone this whole time and haven't talked about food. So I guess the last thing as we wrap up here, because I'm sure we could talk forever.
Yeah.
But you're in an RV. You got places to be. So a last question I'll ask is, what is your favorite Disney meal?
Oh, my favorite Disney meal is gone.
No. What was it?
It was the monkfish at Jico. And the reason it was my favorite dish is because I have a terrible shellfish allergy. I can't eat any shellfish at all.
No.
And monkfish tastes like lobster. And I loved the monkfish at GE, and it's gone now. So
yeah.
Gosh, my favorite meal.
Yeah, if you had to pick now.
My favorite meal, and this is probably not fair. We used to do a lot of restaurant reviews for a magazine, and we were invited to come to Michel Paul, and they were going to just do a meal for us. Nothing on the menu. You know, it was just whatever the chef felt like doing. Yeah. That was one of my most memorable meals at Walt Disney World. Yo. But as a go-to, the ribs at Morimoto.
Okay.
It's not at the parks, but oh my gosh, I love Morimoto's ribs.
Okay, that's a good meal.
Have to add it to the list. I actually haven't dined at Morimoto before.
We pretty much tell everyone you have to go to Ohana. That's like our go-to. We love Ohana.
I love Ohana.
Where do I go? And I'm like, your splurge meal is going to be Ohana. Just write it down. Don't go anywhere else. But that is terrific.
But get the ribs. Go to the, the little quick serve counter at Morimoto.
Yeah.
You can get a small size of the ribs there. Go there for them. And then you don't have to pay for the whole thing.
All right.
Look at that. A bonus hack, everyone. A bonus Susan tip. Says, it's not in the book. Ribs. You're hearing it here. Again, the name of the book is Walt Disney World Hacks, Second Edition. Make sure to check it out. Again, these are official Greg and Beth approved tips.
That's right.
Here's the thing. Sometimes you hear people have some tips and stuff, and I'm like, I don't know if I agree with that. But as I'm reading like one after the other, I was like, no, that's a great one. This is a good one. I got to write this one down. I was really happy to find a bunch of stuff that I found in here. So thank you. And that was really great talking with you, Susan.
Yeah, thanks, Susan, so much for being with us.
It was a real pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. It was really, really fun to speak with you.
I think we each got a nugget today.
Gosh, we do. I do have one, and I'm excited about it.
Well, what is it?
All right, so you may have seen this. You may have not have seen this from the Disney Parks blog, but they have a new YouTube series from Disney's Imagineering. Have you seen this?
I have not, actually, no.
Okay, so draw the Parks blog. It says, drawing inspiration from the televised special Walt used to launch the idea for Disneyland, Walt Disney Imagineering launched a new YouTube series called We Call It Imagineering. Mm. It launched on this past Thursday. I did watch the first episode. It's really cool. It says the series showcases the work Imagineers are doing to shape our next great, big, beautiful tomorrow. These are the folks who make the impossible possible, and the sky's the limit as Imagineers take you through how they are designing, innovating, and creating these new experiences. It's right there in the name. Imagineering is a combination of imagination and engineering. We can't wait to show you what they've been working on lately in the design and creative phase where projects go beyond blue sky.
Cool.
Now, a lot of people were like, and this was my first take too, and Doug, because we were like, why is this not on Disney Plus? Like, why is this not a thing? I don't know if maybe they have like, they're trying to get, you know, more interaction on YouTube, but the first episode is up. It's 13, almost 14 minutes long. And it is mainly like the logistics of like this one was basically animatronics. So this one was all about animatronics, the first one. And they're like in the studio essentially the whole time. So it's not like here's the backstory. I mean, they give like a little bit of backstory, like they do have a small little snippet from Walt's office where he has this little animatronic bird. But it's mainly like in the studio, they do show Tiana's Bayou Adventure animatronics that they have, like, we've now seen them in full whatever, but they just show you exactly like, these are the different steps that we have to take to go through, like actually create these animatronics. So, they're little short episodes. It's going to be a series on YouTube. I don't know. I was trying to find out how often they're going to be launching them, but I don't know. So maybe once a week. I don't know if that's true or not. Check back, but it is up there. Go check it out. I thought it was really cool. I was like, okay, yeah, this is like informative. It did give me some goosebumps because it is just cool to like see the people that actually put together. Cause they, like, the one guy was like, I mean, there's like 30 people that it takes to like put this whole like animatronic together.
Wow.
Cause you have, you know, there's so many people on the technical side and then on the actual, like, the people that are actually building it and making sure all the joints and stuff. And then you have, like, a whole other side of, like, costuming and just how they work together to put those things, you know, to put them together so that they work. So it was cool because like one of the ones that they were looking at, like you could see the sign next to it. It says like DL5 because it's like, oh, okay, this is, you know, he was like, this is actually one of the ones that you'll see, like the first one that you're going to see towards like the beginning of the ride. So like in Tiana's Bayou Adventure, at some point you're going to see this animatronic that's like a storyteller's kind of, you know, it's Lewis, but it's like, you'll see this one here and then there'll be, so you kind of get to know, it's like, hey, well, it looks like it says DL5. And so I don't know if that means there's five Lewises throughout the ride or if it's like, he's, you know, the fifth one that blah, 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 blah. Anyways, it's just really cool to see kind of their setup and how they go through that process. So that sorry, that so was cool. A little bit long, but go check it out. It's on YouTube on their page, the Disney Imagine. I think it's the Imagineering page.
That's so cool.
But yeah, it's called, we call it Imagineering. So check it out. Yeah.
I truly had no idea. I guess somehow I missed that.
For real. Go check it out tonight. It's like literally, it's like 13 minutes and 45 seconds. Okay. So you got?
I'll take us to a park here we call Epcot. They did announce the official closing date for Test Track, which is June 17th. We had heard that they are reimagining it by paying some homage to the World of Motion attraction that existed pre-Test Track. Sounds like they're undoing a little bit of like that Tron kind of look to it. One, because there's an actual Tron attraction.
Yeah.
We don't need two inspired kind of things now. But incidentally, I'll be doing a backstage tour of Test Track this week. So as this episode airs, it's the next day. I'm doing it Thursday morning.
Yeah.
Just in time for it to close, we're getting a backstage tour. I don't think I'm going to learn anything about the new version of it, but I am super curious to see some of the inner workings of the current Test Track. And then maybe again, when it opens up as its new version, I don't think we have an opening date yet. We just got the closing date. So if you're here in the next 2.5 months and you really love the current version of Test Track, make sure you do it.
Yep.
All right, let's go back in time for some Disney history. As always, brought to you by the Mouselets, who are here this week. You may have seen they posted that they were listening to our Resort Rundown episode of Wilderness Lodge because that's where they're staying. And we love to see it. But you can follow them at the Mouselets on Instagram.
Wasn't this their Disney cruise? Aren't they doing the Disney cruise?
They're also doing a Disney cruise. Yeah, it's a very busy weekend.
First one.
For the Mouselets. So make sure you're following along.
All the things. All the things. All right. I'm taking us back to 2006 when Disney World's biggest ride at the time, Expedition Everest, Legend of the Forbidden Mountain, officially opened. They had a ceremonial grand opening. It was led by CEO Bob Iger at the time. And Jay Rasulo was there. He was the park's chairman at the time. The attraction features a snowy mountain setting and an abominable snowman, which actually worked at the time. It was moving, but it doesn't anymore. It's sculpted from 1,800 tons of steel and covering more than 6 acres of land. 2006, this week.
Incidentally, I'll be doing a backstage tour of Expedition Everest later
this
month.
Look at you. Look at you. Cool.
We'll continue this conversation. I didn't want to mention during the interview, but I'll also be doing a backstage tour of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway later this month.
Wow.
Very busy boy. Yeah. And then I'll also be doing a tour. I'm joking. Except I'm not. I'll be doing Tower of Terror and Dinosaur as well. But anyway, moving on.
Wow.
So I'm very excited. And typically when I do those, I will kind of go through some things I learned, usually on our Pat Chats.
Yeah.
Because we've done some deep dives and stuff here before, but I usually we kind of go a little more backstage in-depth stuff on our bonus episodes we do. Anyway, enough about that. I'll take us to 1995. So this week, 29 years ago, Polynesians. Oh, boy. Here we go. I'm going to mispronounce. The Papeete Bay, the Pepa'ete. I know Hawaiian culture, you're supposed to pronounce all of the vowels. So like Papa Hawaii, Ete? That's why they say Hawaii.
So maybe it's Papa'ete?
Papa'ete Bay Veranda, which had been open since 1971, became Ohana, you know, the restaurant that we love. We've already talked about it this episode. That's how you know we love it.
Literally.
Yes. And
make
at the time,
reservation.
Allegedly, according to this article, it featured the world's largest fire pit. I'm like saying that to say I can't verify that. There's no corroboration here.
Like, how
that's
do
what
they
they're
know
claiming.
That? You know what I mean?
And 29 years ago, maybe it was the world's largest fire pit in a restaurant.
I wonder who has it now. Hopefully somewhere in Hawaii.
Hopefully, yeah. I don't know.
Good stuff. All right. Before Greg wraps us up for the week. If you like what you heard today, feel free to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also leave us a review on iTunes so others can locate us easier on their platform of choice as well. In the world of Disney Pods, we've gotten some really sweet reviews lately, so thank you guys for that. You can follow along on our Instagram as well, at That Park Life Podcast. If you want to leave us a question, you can do so on our Instagram highlight there. It's Ask Beth and Greg. To follow on our personal accounts, I am at The Real Beth McDonald.
And I am at The Disney Greg.
Yes, and if you would like some extra content, you can follow along on our other projects that we have. Greg is over at The Quick Escape Pod. He's got some co-hosts over there. They talk about random things. There's non-Disney, so if you want to check that out, it's very funny. I highly recommend it. Or you can follow along my other account, Simplistic Thrills, for some fun merch. If you want to submit a request for an episode, share a magical cast member moment, or send someone a magicgram, you can head over to our website. It's thatparklifepodcast.com. You can do that there. It's free for you, free for them, free for everyone. You can also look up previous episodes. There's a ton of stuff you can do. If you want to contact us, you can do that over there on our website as well. It is thatparklifepodcast.com. Lastly, if you want to join our beautiful gang of Diz Nerds, as I like to call us, you can head over to patreon.com/thatparklifepodcast to get lots more content from yours truly. We have different tiers over there, so just go check them out and see what you can get, what you want to do, and join us. We have friends and family feature on Instagram. We have a new Discord channel. There's merch things over there. You can do some Disney planning, all the things. So check it out over there. It is patreon.com/thatparklifepodcast. And lastly, don't forget our Amazon shopping list as well. They are affiliate links. The link will be in the description of this episode. They're just things that we thought about that maybe you haven't when it comes to shopping for your Disney trip. We do get a little kickback on that, but it is of no charge to you. Check it out. All right, Greg.
A link you'll find in our episode description this week is a link to Susan's book.
Yes.
Walt Disney World Hacks, second edition, if you want to check it out. Paperback version. Very affordable and very informative.
Yes. And it's the summer coming up, so a lot of you are going to be like on the beach or on the cruise or by the pool, and it's like you just need a book to read. Go check out this book.
All right. I've got a quote, as always, to end out our episode. I've got Tiana on the brain. So we get a quote from the Princess and the Frog movie, within which Tiana once said, and I quote, quote, "The only way to get what you want in this world is through hard work."
And then she says, "You got to dig a little deeper, find out who you are." All right, y'all, have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.